Decision podcasts are brought to you by the New York Prosecutors Training Institute. Find this and other decisions at NIPTI Law. www.nipti.org/law.
People v. Franklin decided on April 25, 2024. Halligan, J. This case requires us to determine when an out-of-court statement is testimonial and thus triggers the requirements of the Sixth Amendment's Confrontation Clause. Consistent with precedent from the United States Supreme Court, we ask whether, in light of all the circumstances viewed objectively, the statement was created for the primary purpose of serving as trial testimony. Contrary to the appellate division, we conclude that the CJ report at issue here does not qualify under this standard. In the course of responding to a road rage incident that included a report of a firearm, police officers searched the basement of the home that the defendant Sid Franklin shared with his son and stepmother, Grace Mapp. Officers discovered a gun in a basement closet containing blankets, pillows, and other miscellaneous items belonging to both Mapp and Franklin. Franklin was subsequently arrested and, while in Queens Central Booking prior to arraignment, interviewed by an employee of the Criminal Justice Agency, KJO, as is standard practice for New York City defendants. TUA is a non-profit organization funded by the City of New York that provides pretrial services similar to those provided by probation departments in counties outside the city, E-People v. U. As relevant here, CJ interviews nearly all individuals arrested in New York City to make a pretrial release recommendation to the court, New York Criminal Justice Agency. In interviewing arrestees to determine their suitability for pretrial release, CJ employees ask them questions regarding community ties and warrant history, including an arrestee's address, how long they have lived there, their employment status, whether they expect anyone at their arraignment, their education, and other relevant queries. The CJ employee records the answers to these questions on a standardized form titled Interview Report. The employee also verifies the information provided by the arrestee with a third person whose contact information the CJ employee obtains from the arrestee and records that verification in a separate section of the form. The CJ employee then gives the completed form, including a recommendation on whether the arrestee is suitable for release, to the arraignment judge, the prosecutor, and defense counsel. As relevant here, the CJ employee who interviewed Franklin recorded his address as 11748 168th Saint. The employee also recorded that he or she verified this information with Mapp, referred to as Franklin's mother on the form. That form was central to the people's case at trial. No DNA or fingerprints were discernible on the gun. The officer who took Franklin's pedigree information testified that Franklin gave his address as 11748 168th Street without specifying where in the house he lived. None of the witnesses who testified at Franklin's trial provided direct proof that he lived in the basement, and the people put forth no evidence that any personal documents or effects of Franklin's were found there. To prove that Franklin had dominion and control over the basement, the people introduced the CJ form through the current CJ Queens Borough Supervisor, Oscar Morales. The interviewer was no longer employed by CJ and did not testify. Defense counsel objected to the introduction of the form both as hearsay and as a violation of Franklin's Sixth Amendment right of confrontation. Supreme Court rejected both objections, admitting the form as either a public document or a business record, and finding that there is no Crawford violation in that this was not made specifically for a prosecution purpose, but rather as an aid to the judge to determine if any bail should be set at arraignment. Franklin was convicted of one count of second-degree criminal possession of a weapon, Penal Law Section 265.33. The appellate division reversed, holding that the introduction of the report through Morales, who did not author it, violated Franklin's Confrontation Clause rights. A judge of this court granted leave to appeal, and we now reverse. The Sixth Amendment of the Federal Constitution provides that in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to be confronted with the witnesses against them, us constamend v. The Confrontation Clause focuses on witnesses against the accused, in other words, those who bear testimonies, Crawford v. Washington, Thus, to determine whether the defendant's confrontation rights were implicated by introduction of the CJ report, we ask whether the report was testimonial. The appellate division relied on Crawford's definition of testimony as a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact, quoting Crawford. Citing several decisions that apply an essential element test, the court reasoned that introduction of the CJ form violated the Confrontation Clause because it was admitted in order to establish an essential element of the charged crime, and defendant was never given the opportunity to cross-examine the CJ and to cross-examine the properly. You prepared it in tipul velerbi testimi and properly admitted in order a test. These essential element cases generally rest on our decision in People v. Pacer. In Pacer, decided 2 years after Crawford, the people relied on an affidavit explaining the Department of Motor Vehicles' routine procedures that had been prepared for use at trial to prove that the defendant knew or had reason to know his driving privileges had been revoked. This court held that introduction of the affidavit violated the defendant's right of confrontation because the lack of a live witness to confront eliminated defendant's opportunity to contest a decisive piece of evidence against him. Pacer and several subsequent cases, including the appellate division's decision below, and the cases it cites, look to whether an out-of-court statement establishes an essential element of the crime to determine whether it is testimonial. As we recently recognized in People v. Ortega, the Supreme Court has refined its Confrontation Clause analysis on numerous occasions since it decided Crawford in 2004, e. also Ohio v. Clark, noting the Supreme Court's labor subsequent to Crawford, to flesh out what it means for a statement to be testimonial. These decisions render some of our earlier analyses at odds with the current framework, Sieg-Ortega, recognizing that our previous analysis in People v. Freycinet was inconsistent with the demands of the Confrontation Clause as articulated more recently by the Supreme Court. As with the test applied to autopsy reports in Freycinet, the essential element approach in Pacer has been eclipsed by subsequent developments in Confrontation Clause jurisprudence. We now clarify that in ascertaining whether out-of-court statements are testimonial, courts should inquire, as the U.S. Supreme Court has instructed, whether in light of all the circumstances, viewed objectively, the primary purposes of the conversation was to create an out-of-court substitute for trial testimonies. Clark, quoting Michigan v. Bryant, when that standard is met, the statement should be deemed testimonial for purpose of the Confrontation Clause. The Supreme Court first articulated the primary purpose test only months after this court decided Pacer, in two cases concerning out-of-court statements from domestic abuse victims, see Davis v. Washington and Hammond v. Indiana. In Davis, the statements at issue were made to a 911 operator, and in Hammond to police officers after a physical attack. The Supreme Court concluded that the statements in Davis were not testimonial because they were made under circumstances objectively indicating that the primary purpose of the interrogation was to enable police assistance to meet an ongoing emergency, while in Hammond the statements were testimonial because the primary purpose of the interrogation was to establish or prove past events potentially relevant to Since Davis and Hammond, the Supreme Court has continued to apply the primary purpose test in cases concerning out-of-court conversations, see Bryant, examining the primary purpose of an out-of-court interrogation through an objective analysis of the circumstances of the circumstances, Clark, refiring the primary purpose test. Clark confirms the centrality of the primary purpose test and sets forth relevant considerations. Whether the statements were made under circumstances indicating that the primary purpose of the interrogation is to establish or prove past events potentially relevant to later criminal prosecution, quoting Davis, internal quotation margin, more likely to provoke testimonial statements, while less formal questioning is less likely to reflect a primary purpose aimed at obtaining testimonial evidence against the accused, quoting Bryan. The standard rules of hearsay designed to identify some statements as reliable, quoting Bryant, defendant contends that Crawford articulates a core class of testimonial statements that are always subject to the Confrontation Clause and thus immune from primary purpose analysis, and that the CJ report here falls within that category because an objective witness would reasonably believe it would be available for use at a later trial. Crawford, however, acknowledged that it was leaving for another day any effort to spell out a comprehensive definition of testimonial, and the Supreme Court has subsequently applied the primary purpose test to statements falling within Crawford's core class of police interrogations to determine whether they were testimonial, see Davis, Bryant. Precedent therefore confirms that an out-of-court statement is testimonial when, viewed objectively, all the circumstances indicate its primary purpose was to create an out-of-court substitute for trial testimony. We now turn to whether the introduction of the CJ interview report violated the Confrontation Clause. The KJ report is markedly different from the mine run of evidence that runs afoul of the Confrontation Clause in several key respects. First, though, we do not resolve the defendant's hearsay objection here. See in one supra. We note that the CJ report was introduced as a business or public record. As the Supreme Court has explained, business and public records are generally admissible absent confrontation, not because they qualify under an exception to the hearsay rules, but because, having been created for the administration of an entity's affairs, and not for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact at trial, they are not testimonial, mendes dies, Sales Crawford, most of the hearsay is perenors de bereses nas espaures seraros. Second, the people introduced the report not to put before the jury the CJ interviewer's conclusions, but as evidence that Franklin had self-reported his residence as the basement of the house. According to the CJ supervisor's testimony, standard practice is that all the information of the report, including the defendant's address, comes from the defendant, though it is also later verified through a third party. But the people's argument that because the defendant, rather than the CJ employee, was the declarant, the statement falls outside the ambit of the Confrontation Clause is unpreserved for our review. We therefore proceed to the merits of the Confrontation Clause, assuming arguendo, that the CJ interviewer was the declarant of the statements found on the form for purposes of the Confrontation Clause. Under the relevant circumstances, we conclude that the primary purpose of the CJ interview report was not to create an out-of-court substitute for trial testimony, and that it is not therefore testimonial. The primary purpose of a CJ interview and resulting report is administrative, not something tailored to establish or prove past events potentially relevant to later criminal prosecution. Lark. Its objective is to give the arraignment judge information pertaining to a defendant's suitability for pretrial release, CU, not to elicit incriminating statements. This function is reflected in the pedigree nature of the questions posed to defendants during these interviews, EZ. People v. Williams, defendant's TJ interview is defendant's pedigree evidence, and confirmed by the notation on the face of the report. A CJ report assesses the defendant's risk of flight by considering community ties and warrant history, as defined in Sections 2. We find it significant that a CJ interview report is routinely prepared for all arrestees in New York City. The information collected is the same in every case, regardless of the particular facts or the elements of the relevant crime. The interviewer collects a predetermined set of pedigree information from the defendant and makes a recommendation to the court as to the defendant's suitability for pretrial release. As for the verification step, see dissenting op. at 9, the record indicates that the defendant provides the verification source and contact information, and there is no indication that the CJ employees conduct any independent inquiries. The dissent opines, without any record support, that CJ interviewers are standing in the shoes of a law enforcement officer, dissenting op. at 13. To the extent this characterization sweeps in practices everywhere else in the state, our decision rests on the facts before us in this case, not suppositions about other approaches to providing pretrial services. As explained, while CJ employees work within the court system, they are not principally charged with uncovering and prosecuting criminal behavior, Clark, and for this reason are not law enforcement officers as contemplated by the Supreme Court's Confrontation Clause jurisprudence. That a KJ report is generated for a court and has consequences for a defendant's liberty does not change the fact that its primary purpose is administrative and not testimonial. We note that other courts have reached a similar conclusion regarding other records primarily prepared for administrative reasons. See Melendez-Diaz, records created for the administration of an entity's affairs, and not for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact at trial are not testimonial. See also United States v. Noria, forms created by Customs and Border Patrol relaying Meinstorent. United States v. Caraballo, basic biographical information that is routinely requested not testimonial, though it may later become relevant to prosecution. United States v. Turalba, Mendia, immigration documents prepared for administrative purposes not testimonial. State v. Stottenmayer, minute entries not testimonial because primary purpose is to aid the administration of the trial court. Finally, the pedigree information collected, including the defendant's address, is pertinent to establishing community ties. It is only incidentally relevant in this case, see Egg. Noria, no doubt, the biographical portion of an immigration form, can be helpful to the government in a later criminal prosecution. But it is not testimonial because its primary purpose is administrative, not investigative or prosecutorial. Carabel, an incidental or secondary use is of little moment because the question is the primary purpose. The fact that the report became relevant during this trial does not alter or diminish the primary purpose for which it was created, see Clark. The introduction of the CJ interview report thus did not violate the defendant's right of confrontation, and consequently, we reverse. Accordingly, the order of the appellate division should be reversed, and the case remitted to that court for consideration of the facts and issues raised but not determined on appeal to that court. Order reversed and case remitted to the Appellate Division, Second Department, for consideration of the facts and issues raised but not determined on appeal to that court. Opinion by Judge Halligan. Chief Judge Wilson and Judges Garcia, Singers, and Cannataro concur. Judge Ahrens dissents in an opinion, in which Judge Bannister concurs. Judges Rivera and Troutman took no part.
Decision podcasts are brought to you by the New York Prosecutors Training Institute. Find this and other decisions at NIPT Law, www.nipt.org/law.